Studio 360.
David Chase is the man behind one of the best and most influential TV shows of all time, The Sopranos. Before that, he spent more than a quarter century bouncing around the television business as a fairly anonymous writer, director, showrunner. He was 53 when The Sopranos went on the air and then became famous. But it turns out that creating the seminal modern TV drama was not David Chase's brass ring ambition. What he really wanted to do that whole time he was in television was to make movies. And in his late 60s, he finally got the chance to direct a feature film, which is why he's the next subject of today's episode about late bloomers. I spoke with David Chase just before the release of Not Fade Away, his film about a group of teenagers in New Jersey in the 1960s who start a rock band and try to make it big, but don't. Chase himself played in small-time rock bands before heading out to Hollywood. He told me about one moment from his rock and roll days that lit a kind of fire under him.
I had a conversation with one of the guitar players in my band. We were in a car in the village, and he said, I was going to get married. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I think we'll go out to California and go to film school. And he said, well, go ahead, but frankly, I don't think you'll be anything but the drummer in my band ever, which was the most motivating thing anyone ever said to me. I owe him everything.
And you wrote screenplays.
I wrote screenplays. None of them got produced. I was very frustrated. And when The Sopranos came along, this wasn't my first TV show either, but I never really, the ones that I'd created hadn't stayed on the air very long, which I didn't want them to stay on the air very long.
But you had this Emmy-winning, successful career writing for Rockford File and Northern Exposure and all these things.
Well, the siren song of the movies was still there. That's what I had set out to do, and that's what I wanted to do, and I wasn't doing it. And so by the time I got to The Sopranos, I was very frustrated. And I just thought, just let it out. Just let it all go and see what happens.
Because at that point, you were over 50 and decided I don't need to, like, struggle just to get the next TV show that I don't care about made?
I thought, well, you're going to go on to do other TV shows anyway. Someone will hire you, and you'll go on and be a showrunner for this cop or that lawyer.
But 52 is the Writers Guild early retirement age. You could have gotten out.
I didn't know that.
I'm telling you. If only you'd known then, we wouldn't have The Sopranos.
Right.
Given that you're The Sopranos guy, and that will be in the headline of your obituary.
When is that going to happen?
I do know, but I can't tell you.
Okay.
I assume people around you said, oh, you should extend that brand and make some violent, dark movie as your first feature.
Some people did. Stevie Van Zandt said you should do that. My friend Terry Winter, who I worked with on The Sopranos, said the same
thing.
Who does Boardwalk Empire. Yeah, they didn't say you should do more Sopranos. But we were watching No Country for Old Men, and Terry said you could do a really good movie kind of like in this vein.
And so how come you didn't?
I didn't have an idea that was really sufficiently worked out to my satisfaction at the time.
When you were starting out in the late 1960s, was there some television show you'd seen that made you think, oh, wow, that's something I could do?
No, I was too young to think about. I never thought about doing TV, about working in TV. I only went to film school because I wanted to work in movies.
Really? You didn't watch The Twilight Zone and said, oh, I can do
that? Oh, I watched The Twilight Zone, but, you know, I was 11 or 12. I never thought, oh, well, I could do that. But I certainly watched it. I watched it religiously. I think a show that was very influential to me in TV was I Spy was one of them.
And 1963.
Yeah, and then Twin Peaks is a great. The first season was a great landmark.
When something like Twin Peaks happened, did you start to think, I may be cynical about this career I've stumbled into, but that shows that great television can get done, and maybe they'll let me do it?
All I remember thinking was, you know, being a bus driver, you know, all I kept thinking was, wow, how'd they drive that bus? How'd they get that bus on there?
Yeah.
That's really a cool bus there.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about. Wow, how'd they do that? I didn't think like, well, they've done it once and they'll do it again.
Since you always wanted to be a director and now you are a film director, how come you directed so few episodes of The Sopranos?
Just the running of the show took up so much of my time, and the editing became very important. So I just didn't have the time for it. Between working in the writer's room, developing story, and then editing the film afterward, I love the editing process so much. I spent more and more time in there.
And when it became the commonplace thing that this has launched a golden age of television, which is as true as any statement like that can be. How did that feel?
Well, I didn't see that. Because when I looked at network television, it looked just the same to me. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, but The Wire, Deadwood, Breaking Bad. That's what I mean.
I don't know. I don't know. I never connected with me that. Now with more historical perspective, I can see where people would say that. But at that time, I didn't see it that way.
Yeah. No. Now, great shows about middle-aged guys involved in crime are essentially the golden age of television.
Yeah, they are. But I didn't see it that way then.
Okay. Now you do see it that way. Are you proud?
I guess you'd have to call it pride. I mean, I'm glad.
Yeah, that there's better shows on.
I'm glad there's better shows on. And if I had any influence on anybody about it, great. You know, I'm glad that I did that too.
Yeah. So we announced to our listeners that you were coming on, and they sent us some questions. May I ask you
sure.
two of them? This is from a listener named Lisa Giordano.
No, not her. I will not answer any questions for Lisa Giordano.
Okay. She says... You may take that seriously once you hear the question. I've always been interested, says Lisa Giordano, to know the thinking behind the surname change from De Cesare to Chase. And why Chase exactly?
Okay. My father came from a family of, I think, 12 children. His mother was a woman named Teresa. She came over to this country when she was, I think, 11 years old and worked in a mill. She met a guy who was much older than her. And married him. She was married by the time she was 15. She had 4 children with him. It was a loveless marriage, apparently. And a boarder came to live in the house who was, by the time she was 21, the boarder was 17. They began to have an affair. She had 2 or 3 kids by the boarder who she told the husband were his. But the whole thing fell apart. And his name was De Cesare. And that was the family name. The boarder's name was Fusco. Fusco. And at some point, the boarder, Joe Fusco, and my grandmother left Providence, Rhode Island with all the kids. And they went to the Italian neighborhood in Newark, and they took a name like Chase just because it would be impossible to track them.
Huh. So you didn't change it in order to be successful in show business. It was changed for you.
You mean the Tony Curtis name change?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, or
no.
Woody Allen or
no,
whatever.
No, I was born David Chase. My father, I think my father had to go through a lot of stuff legally to get it changed because they were known by the name. They went to school under the name Chase, and it was a problem getting back.
How interesting. That's a good story to use somewhere.
Well, I know the implication of that question. I know what she's saying.
Given that she has an Italian name.
Yeah, I know what she's aiming at.
Another question from Nimesh Ramasvaram. From his past comments, Chase has always had a love-hate relationship with television. Would he ever create another show?
I would say it's like 95%. The answer is no. Not because I wouldn't enjoy it, because I've gotten to like television over time. I want to straighten this out. The love-hate relationship I have with television, the hate relationship I have with television, has to do with network television. At the same time, that's where I worked for so long.
Right.
At the same time, I worked with some of the best people. I mean, the most talented. I learned a lot. I worked with great people. So I don't have a hate relationship. But with cable, it's a whole different thing. Would I do another show? No, only because I've done it. And I've done it for, I don't know, 40 years or so, and that's enough.
Yeah.
35, whatever it was.
Also, why push your luck when you've created a really good one?
Yeah, I don't think I could do it as well, and I don't think I'd have the energy for it. I think I put everything into that show.
Yeah.
I put everything into The Sopranos. I don't know where I'd get more.
You're going to make more films, though?
I'd like to, yeah.
David Chase, thank you very much.
It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
David Chase's first movie, Not Fade Away, came out in 2012. And he recently played himself on an episode of the wonderful TV comedy BoJack Horseman.
Kid, how'd you like to be the star of Untitled Horsin' Around Knockoff?
Me? A star? But I have no experience, no formal training.
Hey, you don't need any of those things. You got it.